Before we zoom up on the individual stories of the trip, I just wanted to share the overview and give you the big picture of why we went and what we did. Clayton Wiedemeyer is supposed to be in my shoes right now sharing the big picture, but he's not feeling well, so I'm going to take his place. The whole story started about a year and a half ago when Chad and Nikki Clayson, who were on an early home assignment because of Ebola, the Ebola crisis there, came and shared in church about their ministry in Conakry through Lazone. And Ryan Moeller and I, we approached them right after the service and we said, we would really like to make this happen. Let's make it happen. So about a year ago, in 2016, January, through a few weeks ago, we were preparing through fundraising and having team training meetings. And finally, on January 2nd, we went on a plane to work with Chad and Nikki Clayson, who are from this church, from Plymouth Lions Church. Guinea is located in the western part of Africa, and it's very French-speaking there, so there's the tribal dialects that they'll grow up in their speaking in their homes, but everyone speaks French in the school. We were working in the Conakry, which is right along the coast. It's the capital city, and you can notice it's right along the ocean. So every day when we were driving to the center, we could see the ocean. I actually didn't notice until like the third day. I'm not very observant though, so everyone's giving me a hard time. But we were right next to the ocean the whole time. So they eat a lot of fish like you saw in the one picture. And the main people groups that we were working with there are the Fula people, the Maninke, and the Susu. And they're all Muslim background people. And they're very devout. And you know, many of them pray five times a day. And Chad and Nikki, when we were going there, they just asked us to be intentional with our conversation. You know, we didn't go there to build a well or dig anything or hand out food. We went there to really have time and space to have conversations and build relationships with people. And they asked us to really be seeking God. How is he going to lead you to share about Jesus Christ? They recognize Jesus as a prophet, but they don't see him as God and as our Savior. And that's really what we wanted to go and just spread the love of Jesus Christ with them there. And it was amazing how when we were praying and asking God for those opportunities, how he gave them to us, even the very first day on Wednesday. And so this is the picture of Lazone, the ministry center where Chad and Nikki and two other missionary couples work at. There's about 150 to 250 young adults from the ages of 18 to 30. And they come there to learn English. They come there to learn computer skills and business skills, because through having those skills, they can be more marketable in Conakry, in their capital city. But when you talk to people, why do you guys like coming to Lazone so much? They'll say, it's really the only place we can feel peace. It's a place in Conakry that we can feel the most love and joy. So people who are coming here recognize that Lazone is a safe place in Conakry because of the Spirit of God that's so evident when you walk into there. And we're going to be sharing some different stories about relationships that we are able to build. Stories how God is working in the young adults there and how he's working in our lives. So hope you guys are looking forward to hearing the stories.
I'm Jesus, and I'll be doing connections with MK. Before the trip, I didn't know what to expect from the missionary kids. I didn't know much about them, and I didn't know much about missions. I was kind of nervous to meet them. I didn't know their ages, so I didn't know what their interests would be like. I honestly didn't know if we would get along. When I met them, I was happy to see they were my age and had the same interests as me, like playing board games, sports, and hanging out. I was also glad to find out that they were very fun to play with. It was cool seeing how easy it was for me to connect with Andrew and Isaac. I connected with the girls too, but I spent more time with the boys, especially Andrew, who was 12, like me. We connected quickly as soon as we met, and I felt like we were already friends. At that moment, I knew that was going to be a good friendship. On our first weekend in Conakry, we went to Kasa Island. I had such a fun time playing soccer with Andrew and Isaac and a group of people that were visiting the island. On our way back, Andrew and I sat together on the boat, and we talked on the way back. I felt so connected with him, I asked my mom if I could ride on the way back in their car. My mom said it was okay, and we kept talking. One night, Andrew told me about a pool at the compound, and we spent time playing in the pool for hours. It got so dark and we kept playing. It was fun playing games in pitch black. Another day we went to the Clayton's house and they invited us for dinner. As soon as we went to their house, Andrew showed me his pet rabbit. We played with the rabbit for a bit and then we played basketball outside, hung out, and spent time talking to each other. It was a lot of fun. I think it was cool how we played so many games and never got bored. At La Zone, they had a foosball table that Andrew and I liked to play with. Playing foosball with Andrew and the people at La Zone is very hard because they're all really good. And I love seeing Andrew and the people at La Zone, but now I can't. I'm really going to miss them, and I hope I get to see them again.
Hello, my name is Carissa. During our trip to Guinea, one of the main projects that we were responsible for preparing was a 3-day English fair. So each of us was able to prepare and teach classes while we were in Guinea at the La Zone English Center that the Claysons work for. So some of the classes that we were able to provide were fitness, and that was done by Don, John, and Jesus. Crafting is a class that Ashley prepared. Lois and Tanya taught a cooking class. Clayton taught a drama class. Paul did self-defense, and I did a painting and art class. It was really amazing to see how God used each one of us and each of our individual interests and talents to share with the students at La Zone, and just see how he was able to use those 3 days for his glory. For some of us, it was definitely a stretch outside of our comfort zone. For me especially, teaching a class was definitely a first-time thing. And God totally used that, and I was able to share something that I'm passionate about and share that with the students there that don't usually get to experience art class or painting. And so we found that the classes that we were able to share with the students were usually not very common in Africa, and especially Guinea. So some of the activities that we were able to share with them were really a blessing for them, but also for us to see their enthusiasm and their excitement to learn something new was just really encouraging for us. For myself, I was able to see students that had never painted or drawn before, and to see them experience that for the first time was really amazing. Even like the concepts of coloring and blending the primary colors to create secondary colors was completely new. So we did a lot of basic art techniques like creating the color wheel, drawing, sketching, and then as you'll see in some of the photos, they created their final canvas project. So it was cool to see how the concept of creating and being creative was new to them, so they could not really copy exactly what I was doing. And that's kind of what I encouraged them to do, is kind of think about inspiration and where they find their inspiration. So I was able to speak a little bit about my inspiration to the students that came to my class. And for me, my inspiration for my art comes from nature. And so I was able to incorporate scripture within that explanation about my inspiration, and just being able to talk about how I see the works of God and the works of my creator within nature, and how that inspires me to create art. And so within these classes and teaching these things to the students, we were able to build stronger relationships with the students there. And through these classes, I think it was easier to connect with them through the language barrier and also just our comfort zones too. But just being able to share that was really special, and to see even on the last day of the English fair, I got to see one of the students, his name was Daniel, and he showed a lot of talent throughout the first class. And the last class afterwards, he brought in a girl, and soon like five other students came in and were just hanging out in the art class and just painting, and he was teaching what he had learned to one of the girls. So that was really cool to see for me. Just throughout the entire time we were in Guinea and throughout that three-day English fair, God totally worked through us and through the connections, we were able to share Christ's love in just sharing activities. And after each day, we would present our classes. And so all the students would come up and share what they learned throughout the classes that they took. So they would share what they had learned in like fitness class and what they had created in their crafting class, what they had cooked that day. And then for the drama, they performed their skits and we got to watch those. For the self-defense, they would show different techniques that Paul had taught them. And for the painting, they just got up and showed what they had done. So it was cool for all the students to kind of see what was going on throughout the 3 days. But I think for me, I just definitely got to see God's faithfulness throughout the entire trip and stepping out of my comfort zone in different ways that I had never done before, just trusting God within the details of even teaching a class and allowing him to use me in that way was a big thing for me, just trusting God and seeing how he was going to use each one of our team members. And then one of the verses that really stood out to me throughout the entire time I was there, and even now, I just really go to this verse for encouragement when I'm just not trusting God and just relying on my flesh. I just go to 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And I saw God and his glory revealed throughout the time that we were in Guinea. I'm just really thankful for the connections that we were able to make and just being able to share the gift of art with the students at the center was incredibly life-changing for me. And I definitely think that working alongside the Claysons while they were showing us what kind of ministry they do in Guinea was really eye-opening for me. And just I definitely think that God revealed to me a desire to be more involved in missions. And so right now I'm just trying to strive to be willing to say yes to what God is calling me to do, if that's overseas missions or just missions around here. Just learning to step out of my comfort zone and serve Christ better, because it definitely takes stepping out of our faith and our comfort zone to really serve Christ. So I just wanted to thank you all again for your support and prayers for our team.
Good morning. All right. So a year ago, when I was asked to accompany my wife to the trip, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. So in the end, for the English fair, I taught the self-defense, which is pretty safe for me because I kind of do that at work. So I was pretty comfortable with that. The whole in being intentional relationships, that's a little more of a stretch for me. With teaching the self-defense, over there it's an Islamic country, so they split the classes up for me, 2 men's classes and 1 women's class, because in a class like that, they aren't in the same room at the same time. The men's classes are easy, throw a bunch of guys in a room, throw each other around, piece of cake. Okay. The women's class, though, was a little more difficult because I was told that I can't demonstrate on them, like physically touch them. Well, how do you do that? But I had a couple female staff from the zone was there to help me. Over there, when I got there, I found out, because I didn't know, that domestic violence is very common. And the women are kind of, you're at home taking care of the kids, doing all the work, and they get beaten often by their husbands. And so my class got filled up with 12 women signed up for my class. But in the end, only 3 showed up. So those are 3 courageous women. So throughout the class, it's a three-hour class we did, body language says all. And I had body language saying, basically, you don't know what you're talking about. You know where we come from. You're nuts. At the end of it, I asked them if some of the stuff that I showed them would work with them. And they actually acknowledged that it would. So that was a good purpose for me being there. On top of that, Nikki, Chelsea, and Cheryl, who helped me with the class, they also said, wow, that's good stuff. Can you do it for the female staff of the compound? Because over there, I referred to it as you're like in a fishbowl, being the only kind of Caucasian people. Everyone looks at you, and it's quite obvious when you first get there. But after a short amount of time, you get pretty comfortable, and it just becomes second nature. Well, to the population, you're still the rich white people. So you're targets from a security standpoint. So I did that class as well. So part of my class, I had to do it a fourth time, and part of my class was teaching how to fall. So I had to pick myself up off the floor about 50 times that week, and I was getting a little tired. But it was well worth it. It was attended probably by about 20 women from the compound, from all the different missions that are there, not just, you know, the Switzerland, and we had people from all over that attended. So I figured out that was my purpose for being there. So that was a good impact for me. About the intentional relationships, not so easy. Over there, it was kind of forced on you, so I had to kind of suck it up and go for it because they're just right there. They come to the center and it, how you doing? Never, you know, we're strangers to them and we were strangers to them and vice versa. So you had to be intentional. I didn't realize how intentional it was until I came back and how much that affected me. I made every attempt to be more intentional in my relationships. It's easy with your family and church. I had an acquaintance that I work with that he's not a friend. He just works in the same building as I am. He confided in me that his wife was just diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. And he sought me out because he heard about our trip and he put two and two together that I'm a Christian, and he confided in me and asked for prayers. That's never happened to me before. It's common amongst family and friends and even here, but for a relative stranger to seek me out, wow, I'm still kind of figuring that out. So what kind of related to me was in Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you already are. And that's probably what I took away the most from my trip.
Good morning. First of all, I want to thank everyone for their support. There was no way we could have done this without your help, financially, prayers, always words of encouragement when we were outside or doing any activity. So thank you so much, Plymouth Alliance Church. For me, I feel blessed to be here. We're gonna be 2 years now, I think, part of this church, and I cannot say enough things for about our church. I'm just happy to be here. So thank you so much for all the ways that you guys have supported us and my family. So it's great that you are part of what God has been doing in my family. So thank you. One of the things that God stressed on me while I was in Conakry was the importance of relationships. When we got there, we started seeing everything around, of course. And the previous service, I made fun of our fun time in the van. We have to spend a lot of time together in a small van, and it was like this all the time. So it was fun, tiring, but in the first service, I was a little nervous, so I said that I was pretty much still on the van, bouncing around, because I was really nervous. Now I'm more calm, So which is good. But God kept on working on me regarding relationships. And when we were in a van looking around, we started seeing a lot of things that probably we didn't expect to see. At least I didn't. A lot of garbage. They don't have a system to pick up garbage, so they have to do whatever they can with the garbage. So pretty much it's throwing it in the street. So you will see garbage all over the place, kids playing around the garbage. That was very shocking for all of us. A lot of poverty, a lot of darkness, and a lot of need. And I started focusing on those things. And I questioned God, what am I doing here? I grew up as in a poor family, but it doesn't compare to what I got to see in Conakry. So I started focusing on those things, and I started thinking that they were in a lot of need. Oh, we have to help these people. They're in a lot of need. You know what God showed me? He started focusing or working on me so I could focus on other things. And I started seeing, wait a minute, there's garbage, but there's a lot of people and they're happy and they're smiling and they are spending time with each other. You will see people always in bunches, a lot of group of people. You will see the ladies all together in front of their house or in the street, cooking together, taking care of each other kids. Doing their hairs, that was pretty cool. Carissa got that opportunity, and that was really cool to see. They were very comfortable with each other and very comfortable with physical touch. You will see men hugging each other, high-fiving, you know, hugging on the side. Relationship was very rich, and they were very, very rich in relationships. And God showed me, Tanya, they're not in need. Your culture is. We are the ones in need because we feel uncomfortable. We sit on a chair, and if our brother is touching us, we kind of feel, you know, it's kind of weird sometimes. Sometimes we don't connect. We have to right now put names on our chats because we don't know each other's names. And how can we spread the word in our community if we don't relate to each other, if we don't relate to them? So God started stressing that on me because he is a God of relationship. We see relationships from Apocalypse, from Genesis to Apocalypse. Everything in the Bible is about relationships. And it's resumed in two types of relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with each other. And if we think about the best example in the Bible about relationship, who do you think it is? It's Jesus. Jesus was all about relationship. He will go on the street. He will talk with people. He will sit at their table. I'm pretty sure he had fun with them. He didn't care about physical or personal space. At some point, we see the disciples pushing away kids because they didn't want the kids to bother Jesus, but he grabbed them. It says that he held them in his hands. He wasn't afraid of physical touch. He wasn't afraid of getting relationship with people. One of my favorite stories about Jesus is when he interacted with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I'm always saying it wrong. Zacchaeus? Okay, there you go. Jesus, first of all, called Zacchaeus by his own name, which I cannot even pronounce. So he knew it, and he called him. And Jesus, when you look at the story, Jesus invited himself to his house. So if I say, hey, by the way, Carissa, I'm having dinner at your house today. That's kind of bold, you know? It's kind of, but he did it. He did it. That's the way he interacted. He never waited for people to come to him. He always went to them. When we see him at the well with the woman, he interacted with her. It was always all about relationship, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to work on that. When we read Mark 12, 28, 31, I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation version. It says, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all commandments, which one is the most important? We know that they were trying to challenge Jesus at that time. And Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only and one Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment, in singular, is greater than this." In this passage, we see that Jesus sums up what a God-centered life should be. Love God and love others. And we should notice that Jesus refers to this as only one commandment. He didn't put it in separate. It's not love God and then later love others. It's one. It has to happen at the same time. And that's when sometimes we kind of fail. It's easy to love God. That's what we hear because we love him. But sometimes, like my husband say, and Carissa too, to step out of our comfort level, relationships require that in a big time. And we saw at Lezon that even with the language barrier, I thought it was funny that God sent me to Conakry to teach English when it's not my primary language. That's how God works. You know, he sometimes can be funny. And that wasn't a problem. You know, my accent for them wasn't a problem. My English sometimes is broken. It wasn't a problem. Why? Because there's an universal language that is love. And that language, we get it from God and we give it to others. And that's what God did through this trip. Everything was about relationship. When you see us playing, of course, we were suffering a lot playing. It was very sacrificial for us. But we could see God working in relationships. These two girls that you see there, I said that they stole my heart, but I corrected myself. I gave my heart to them. One of them hasn't even started. When we talk about level 5, level 1, level 2, those are the levels when they move forward based on their English knowledge, how they can keep on getting better with English. The one carrying the purse, she's not even in level 1 yet. So you can imagine me with my accent and her trying to talk. She speaks French, but her primary language is one of the local ones. It was a mess, but a beautiful mess. And through love and laughter and hugging and selfies, they love selfies, we connected. And I was able to talk about the love of Christ with her. And so with Janab, she's the one with the red pants. And this is all what we need to do. We just need to step out our comfort level, open up, and just grab his love and spread it. Grab it and spread it. If we do it and it stays here, the world will not know about Christ. The world will not know about his love. So that's why I want you to think about, encourage you to start building relationships wherever you go. Coworkers, at the store. I'm crazy about greeting the people at Walmart. I always had a conversation with them. They're pretty easy to talk with. The cashier, someone behind you at the line. Let's open up. Open up to what God wants to do so we can gain Plymouth to Christ. We went to Guinea, but I think there's a lot of work that we need to do here. And this is a wonderful church. Let's open up to relationship and just spread the word and the love of God. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Lois, and this last past January when Don said, "Oh, we're going to have a missions trip to Guinea," I was like, "Wow, that's always what I wanted to do." So I ran up after the service, says, "Don, I want to go. Then as we started getting together with all the people and stuff, and then we had some fundraisers, and then come this late summer, we had a Skype with Chad and Nikki of all we wanted to do. And I at first I kind of fell out of place because I really didn't know what my reason for me was to do there. So I had a talk with Don, and he says, "Well, wait till you get there, you will find something for you to do." And I thought, well, I can be maybe a shining light to one person, just teach them the word of Jesus Christ or whatever. So as we got there, the the day after we arrived in Guinea, I missed, we were talking with people at the La Zone, waiting for people to sign up for the English classes, and I met this nice young man, his name was Faladu, and we just started talking, and I thought, well, here's the, maybe the time and opportunity, I can give him my time, and he says, well, I have a story to tell you. I said, well, I got a good heart and good ears, I can listen to you. So he was telling me that his family is Muslim, and they read out of the Quran, and that somebody had given him a Bible, and he started reading the Bible also. So he started reading both, and he was really kind of in the midst, well, what to believe, and, you know, should I go keep with his family? And but he started, he said, he kept telling me that he really wanted to become strong in Jesus, that he felt this was his faith, and he wanted to get away from the Quran and believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He said that just felt so loving to him, and that was his will to do. But he had kept it himself for a long time, and he really didn't want to tell his family of what he was going through. So he said he was going through a hard spiritual time of his life, and he said he really had to pray about it a lot. And he said he finally came upon himself that he really had to go and tell his family what he was believing in. And he had a hard time, but his family did not agree with the thing he was trying to do, going from Muslim to the Quran to Christian in the Bible. So he said his faith was in Jesus, and he wanted to give up the Muslim faith. And so his family disregarded him, and they kind of kicked him out of the house. So I did visit with him that first day, and then it worked out really funny because I said, well, I thought we were coming back to the Little Zone after lunch. So I said, well, I'll meet you later. And well, it didn't work out that way. So I thought we'd go back, and we weren't coming back to the La Zona, and I felt really bad. I was like, here I told Father Du I was going to come back and meet him, and here we're gone. But I did get to meet him a couple days later, and we got to still converse about how he was doing. He said he was still having a lot of problems, dreams and stuff, with spiritual dreams about how his faith is really fighting with him, with his family and stuff, but he still was going to stay strong in the Lord. And I kept thinking to myself, it's like, well, how many of us in our lives would be willing to give us of our family and our friends to become faithful in Jesus Christ as our Savior? We have a lot of hard times just setting aside time for people and family and stuff, but to give our life and he gave his life and his family away to believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior. I thought, wow, that really made me think a lot of what he had done for himself to believe in Jesus as his Savior. Well, then that Sunday we had gone to church, and me, I don't like to wear dresses the way they are, and here I had to wear dresses the whole time we were there. And then we had to wear this tie, we had to wear this band around our heads because it was a culture there. I was like, oh boy. So I was always glad to get back to the center. I could put my shorts back on or whatever. You know, but that church, and then we had a nice message about being ambassadors for Christ at that service and stuff. And we were praying, and all of a sudden I see Fali Du coming, and we start talking, and I gave him a big hug, and then he asked me if I could pray for him. And so I thought, well, maybe I didn't have light, but I thought, well, I could bring one shining light to one person while I was there, and just to reach him through, to help him to believe that Jesus is the way of his life, and to keep fighting with him, to put your faith and hope in Jesus that it will work out for him, and then maybe he could draw his family to believe in Jesus Christ also. And I have to say that another thing that I really learned about this trip was getting to know all the people that I came along with, because myself either, I didn't know. But it was just nice to get to know each other personally. Every night we would sit down and go through our daily things of what we did each day. But even during the times we were there, how I got to know what are good and bads in us and what we like to do and what we don't like to do. So it's just nice to be a good fellowship of the people that we got to go and do this big, wonderful missions trip with. So, and I just want to say thank you to all you people who supported us And again, thank you for all your prayers and giving and your time and effort for all this time that we got to do this wonderful thing and to keep up with the missions, for it is truly a worthwhile thing to do that we can someday spread the word of Jesus Christ throughout the whole world. So thank you again for everything.
All right, good morning, everybody. My name is Ashley, and as I dropped the truth bomb on Don on the first service, I didn't prepare anything for this. Kind of, you know, let the Holy Spirit ride on this one. We'll start with the beginning. Like he said, last year when he brought it up, I never wanted to leave the country, ever. I mean, you couldn't give me a ticket to go anywhere around the world. I didn't want to leave. I'm very comfortable here. I love my family. I love being tight-knit. It's a comfort thing, I guess, right? But when he announced it, you know, I prayed about it, and all of a sudden I felt like God was pulling me there. And I didn't know why, but, you know, I'm going to go with it. And I remember turning in the application to Don by his office, and I'm like, here you go. And I remember Gary right around the corner. He's like, I didn't know you were interested. And I'm like, me neither. He's like, why are you going? I'm like, don't know yet. But I found out really quickly why God was calling me there. When you go on trips like this, you have to take a hard look at yourself and your imperfections and your sins. And one of those going in was my control and liking everything to be in order, and that is not the case there. Learning how to follow a leader, a very great leader, may I add, was very difficult for me, and to humble myself and to work on things like that. Some of the things I learned was, first off, how to quiet my mouth, which you can tell I'm a talker, so that's hard. Second was to have peace with that, and just have a gentle spirit. So as we were doing that, we had a lot of great experiences, like everybody said. The picture that you see behind me, that is just around the market. So you go to these markets, they all look like this, pretty much. This particular street, that is their housing. Let that sink in for a minute. Every one of those doors is a person's home. The size of a small bedroom. That is where all of their kids, some of them have 4, 5, 6, maybe more. All of them live there. They sleep there. The buckets you see on the side, they come out, and that is where they bathe. They go out and they cook over the smallest little pot or fire right outside their door, which can take up to a couple hours because everything is freshly prepared. And every place, well, I would say almost every place you went kind of looked like this. And for some of you, maybe it's hard to see, but every time I walked into one of these, all I saw was how beautiful it was. There was just something so beautiful in the poverty, in the broken. And I couldn't understand why I was struggling with that and why it made me upset until I realized that it's the same way that we have our relationship with God. That he looks at me and he sees me broken, and he sees me impoverished and desperate, and he still loves me. And I am telling you, and everybody on this team will tell you, those people in Africa, they have a love and they have a light to them. You can go anywhere and you just say simply good morning to them, and they open up their hearts and they want a relationship with you. It's just the same way as our Father wants with us. So on one of these days, when we were at the market, or we left the tailor or something like that, and I remember we were walking and there was this little girl, cutest little thing ever, but out of nowhere, she wouldn't look at anybody. She focused her eyes on me, ran up to me and grabbed my hand and just started going. And I'm like, whose kid is this? I don't know. And I look, and we thought this was her mom, and the mom's like, oh, go, you know, just go ahead. I'm like, all right, guess I got a kid. Let's go with that. And this little girl, she would not let go of my hand. And she gazed into my eyes, and everything, every bad and broken thing in that world for that moment was gone. And there was so much beauty and hope in it. And, oh my gosh, it was so beautiful. And I don't know, And again, I analyzed that and looked. If we could just look at God in the same way that girl looked at me, to just grab him by the hand and said, you know what? I don't care about my friends, my family. I'm going this way. And that really struck me because I'm not that way. Yes, I'm spiritual. Yes, I'm Christian. But have I took a hard look that I'm going to grab God's hand and give up everything in my life for him? Sorry. On one of the verses that I really liked, it was 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 9. We have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated. We do not know what to do, but we do not give up the hope of living. We are persecuted, but God does not leave us. We are hurt sometimes, but we are not destroyed. God needed this time in my life to break me of every possible thing. Everything that I held dear, he needed to break down so I could trust in him fully. And that was hard. It was hard to let go of the control, to follow a leader, to give up everything, to not know where I was going to be or where I was going. And I'm going to tell you, the result and the effect after that was amazing. I don't know the last time I've been so full and so confident that it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. I have today with my Lord, and that's all I need. That's all I need. One other verse that I really liked is in Ecclesiastes, and it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything broken and everything impoverished, he can make beautiful, including a broken person like me, because I am his masterpiece. And I believe it was Max Lucado who wrote in a book that said, Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to let you stay that way.
Hi, my name is John Torres, and I'm going to talk about the experience I had at the Gator Mission trip and how it impacted my life. The moment I stepped out of the plane at Guinea, I could feel the oppression in the atmosphere. The first day was very tough for the team, and I began to think to myself, what did we get ourselves into? I began to worry that it would be too much for me to handle. The next day was the first time we went to Luzon. The moment we arrived at Luzon, that oppression went away, and I felt joy and immediately noticed the difference that Luzon was making. All of the Guineans were constantly smiling, and that was something that was very different outside of Luzon. When I saw how the atmosphere inside of Luzon was compared to the outside of it, I began to realize how big of an impact Luzon and what the team there was really about. But not only did the team in Luzon have a big impact on the community, but it also had a big impact on me. They helped me understand what missions are about, and now I am considering doing more missions later on in life. I would really enjoy going back to Luzon to do more work. When I was in Guinea, I could really see God working in Luzon and in the team. My relationship with God grew stronger, and he worked in me when I was in Guinea. I was worried that I wouldn't talk with many of the Guineans there at Luzon, but in the first day, I was already having conversations with many of them, and I made a lot of friends. It was like all of my worries and fears were thrown out the door. Everything I was worrying about before we went to Luzon didn't even go through my head, and my trip was perfect. I believe that the reason that all of my worries and fears went away was because I realized that I was working for the Lord, who is merciful and loving. In Colossians 3:23, the Bible says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. I think this verse ties in with how I understood what the team in Luzon was about. When I worked at Luzon, I felt joy and satisfaction. But when I work here, I feel stressed and I begin to worry. When I thought about this, I immediately thought about doing a year-long internship at Luzon. I want to work for God, who is loving, caring, and merciful. His rewards are more spiritual and everlasting, where a paycheck is just temporary. The team at Lazone really helped me understand that, and I'm thankful for that. Without this trip and the influence from the team, I wouldn't have experienced what it is like to work for the Lord and learn how the Lord works in me and through me.
God is good, amen. We as a team got to see firsthand that God is moving and working in Guinea. God is using the international workers there who have committed their lives to the Great Commission to reach the ends of the earth, and specifically in Conakry, Guinea, for Jesus Christ. We saw firsthand that money that's given to missions isn't just given to some vague general commission, Great Commission fund. It actually makes a difference. We saw that prayers sent up to God for lost peoples are making a difference. Being involved in missions and reaching the ends of the world involves sacrifice and giving. It involves faithfulness and praying, but it also involves going. And many of you were involved and helped us to get there, and we do want to say as a team, thank you so much for your support. And for those who are continue to be engaged in long-term missions through your giving and praying, I just want to encourage you to remain faithful in that. But for those of you who haven't yet started getting engaged in missions or haven't yet seen what God's opportunity for you would be to reach the ends of the earth, I want to challenge you today, this year, how would God have you become a Great Commission Christian? We as a church want to enter into a special partnership with the Lazone Ministry. We're still going to continue to supporting our seven missionary couples, but we want to zoom in and focus as well on what the Claysons are doing. This involves giving to special projects, to praying for them, and future trips in the future. So you guys let your wheels be turning in your heads about going again and seeing how God could use you. Why do we do missions? Jesus says in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." We see this fulfilled in Revelation 5:9. John writes, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe, every people, every language, and every nation.'" One day, we'll get to see in heaven people from the Fula tribe, the Meninke, the Susu, people from all over the world. Together, we can bring back the King. We can bring Jesus back. I want to ask you to commit to being involved in missions for this year. How is God going to use us, Plymouth Lions Church, to not only reach our community for Christ, but how are we as a church going to reach the ends of the earth? Let's pray together. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son as an expression of that love. Thank you that we can know him and be in relationship with that God, with Jesus. And Father, today we remember the millions, the billions of people in the world who have never even yet heard the name of Jesus Christ, the name that can save them. God, I pray that you would continue to call people to yourself. Give us your heart, your compassion, your burden to see these lost peoples come to Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for the many ways that you're working in Lazone. Thank you for the ways that you're working and moving, God, and that you're going to continue to draw people to yourself. We ask that you would continue now to work through those missionaries, Father, continue in those hearts of the Guineans that we interacted with, and God, continue working in us. Give us your heart. Give us your passion. Jesus, we love you, and we commit our lives to you for the sake of the cross, for the sake of the world. It's in your name, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen. Thank you.